Atheists like to blame Christians for all kinds of bad things, but there's a contradiction in their condemnations that actually provides evidence in favor of Christianity. Consider Alex O'Connor's interview last month with William Lane Craig, where the two discussed the Old Testament's references to God commanding Israel to kill the men, women, and children among the surrounding Canaanites. Alex is sympathetic to the idea that defending this divine command is morally repugnant.
You must understand how that sounds, saying it was a blessing for these children to be killed and go to God. I mean, this is something that Dawkins quotes you on directly. And I'm interested in you share my assessment here that even if he's not correct, I can understand why he would hear you say something like that and think that it's morally repugnant, that it's revolting.
And here's Richard Dawkins expressing the same opinion.
I feel such contempt for him because of his, I don't know whether you've seen his, what he says about the
something about
Israelites slaughtering the Midianites. And
Sam Harris makes similar moral accusations against Craig in his debate with him.
Whatever he commands is good. So when he commands that the Israelites to slaughter the Amalekites, that behavior becomes intrinsically good because he commanded it. Okay. Well, here we're being offered, I'm glad he raised the issue of psychopathy, we're being offered a psychopathic and psychotic moral attitude.
Alex, Richard Dawkins, and many other atheists seem to think Christians who defend the unrestricted killing of the Canaanites in the Old Testament are doing something morally blameworthy in making that defense. I'm not going to respond to that specific issue in the Bible in this episode. I'll include links in the description where I and other Catholic apologists have responded to these difficult texts in the Old Testament. What I'm more concerned about in today's episode is reconciling many atheists' moral disgust toward Christians who defend that doctrine or the doctrine of hell or the wrongness of homosexuality. Their disgust towards Christians defending what they consider to be indefensible, and those same atheists denying that we have free will. Their reaction to Christians implies they're angry Christians would do something that a rational person should not do. They might think that someone as smart as William Lane Craig should have used his brain to not believe such, in their eyes, absurd things, and so Craig can be morally blamed for his choice to defend these beliefs. An atheist might say William Lane Craig should be better. But the assumption one should be better implies that one could have acted differently, acted better than one had already done. Even if the claim be better is only an exhortation to change the future, to be better in future behavior, that assumes one has the power to change the future and decide what he or she will do. But this seems to contradict another common atheistic idea, that we do not have free will. And so we are determined to do what we did, and we are not free to do otherwise. Alex has made several videos arguing that we don't have free will, and he's sympathetic to Robert Sapolsky's claims that if free will does not exist, then we do not have moral responsibility. At the end of Sapolsky's book, Determined, A Science of Life Without Free Will, he writes, "We need to accept the absurdity of hating any person for anything they've done. Ultimately, that hatred is sadder than hating the sky for storming, hating the earth when it quakes, hating a virus because it's good at getting into lung cells. This is where science has brought us." And in his book on free will, Sam Harris writes, "Viewing human beings as natural phenomena need not damage our system of criminal justice. If we could incarcerate earthquakes and hurricanes for their crimes, we would build prisons for them as well. Punishing people purely for pragmatic reasons would be very different from the approach that we currently take." My claim is that atheists can only blame Christians and thus hold Christians morally responsible for their beliefs if atheists believe in free will. But free will, for many atheists, cannot exist in a godless universe. But this just gives us a reason to abandon atheism, not free will. An argument on the matter might go like this. If God does not exist, we do not have moral responsibility. We do have moral responsibility, therefore God does exist. Before we jump into this argument, though, please consider exercising your free will to subscribe to this channel and like this video. Otherwise, I will hold you morally responsible for the channel's lack of growth. All right, so first, let's define moral responsibility. This means an agent can be praised or blamed for an action. If a lightning bolt burns down a house, the lightning cannot be blamed or praised. It has no moral responsibility. But if an arsonist burns down a house, he can be blamed. But what is the root of the blame? It can't just be in physical causation. A lightning bolt may be physically responsible for a house burning down because it was the physical cause of the fire. If the bolt had not struck, the house would probably still be standing. But the lightning bolt is not morally responsible. In some cases, human beings are physically responsible for harm, but they are not morally responsible. For example, if you try to put out a grease fire with water, you'll just spread the fire. If someone burned down their house this way, they're not morally responsible for the fire. It was an accident. Or at least their carelessness makes them less morally responsible than an arsonist who deliberately burns down a house. Both this person and the arsonist are physically responsible for the fire, but only the arsonist is fully morally responsible. But why is that? An atheist might say it's because the arsonist wanted to burn the house down, whereas the lightning bolt or the accidental fire starter did not have that want. It's our desires that determine our moral responsibilities. But what determines our desires? Most atheists would say that if the arsonist had a brain tumor that caused him to want to burn things down, he would not be morally responsible. But what's the difference between being determined to act by a brain tumor and being determined to act simply by other chemicals in the brain? In both cases, you are determined to do something by physical forces. And if you say understanding reasons is what makes us morally responsible, that doesn't avoid the problem, because our understanding of reasons is as fated as our actions under determinism. So what explains why the healthy arsonist is morally blameworthy, but the lightning bolt, the accidental fire starter, and the brain tumor arsonist are not morally guilty or responsible? The answer is that the first three could not have done otherwise. They were just following various laws of nature. There was no point where they could have freely chosen to not start the fire given their circumstances. The lightning bolt had to strike, the accident was going to happen, and the tumor was going to cause someone to start a fire. There was no other way it could have ended. But the healthy arsonist could have stopped what he was doing. He could have chosen to do otherwise. And the fact that he did not do that means he can be held morally responsible for his actions and not just physically responsible. But if atheism is true, then human beings are no different than anything else that is engaged in physical causal interactions in the universe. They're all just molecules in motion that are determined to act by other molecules and forces around them. If you don't morally blame animal or material collections of molecules for the harm that they cause, on what basis can you morally blame human collections of molecules for the harms that they cause? But you can hold humans morally responsible for their actions if human beings are not merely a collection of molecules. If God exists and we're made in God's image, that would explain how we have the ability to make choices that rise above what nature would ordinarily determine in purely physical outcomes. We are able to choose good or evil in a given situation. And if we choose evil, we can be held blameworthy for our choices. Because we had the power to choose good instead, we could have done otherwise. And that only makes sense on theism or belief in God, not atheism. Once again, here's the argument. If God does not exist, we do not have moral responsibility. We do have moral responsibility, therefore, God does exist. This is a logically valid argument, so the only way to refute it is to go after one of the premises. And atheists are divided on which premise to go after because atheists are divided over this question. Can we have free will if everything is determined? If you say no, you are an incompatibilist. Free will and determinism are incompatible. You cannot have both. Many Christians would say that since we do have free will, that means determinism is false because you can't have both. We are not slaves of fate. The universe is not some giant Rube Goldberg machine that determines only one set of actions will ever take place. However, many atheists would say that since the world is determined, then that just means we do not have free will. Where Christians give up determinism to solve the incompatibility, these atheists give up free will. And for many of them, this involves giving up moral responsibility. So they would reject premise two, where we do have moral responsibility. But for most people, the existence of moral responsibility is as obvious as the existence of the external world, even though we could, in theory, be living in something like the Matrix. Also, if moral responsibility does not exist, the state would be justified in punishing innocent people, like relatives of criminals, as long as this could be proven to reduce crime. In fact, North Korea already does that through its three generations policy that punishes the children and grandchildren of criminals. If you say it is unjust or unfair to do this, then you must admit that moral responsibility exists, that people can choose to do or not do blameworthy acts, and that is what determines if someone deserves to be punished or not. But then we have to add something else that explains why human beings are not determined while other material beings in the universe are determined. Under the Christian view, being made in God's image would make the crucial difference. God, being all-powerful, can give us the power to be true free causes in the world. The other way to attack the argument would be to go after premise one and say that it's possible to have moral responsibility even if God does not exist. One way to do that would be to say free will and determinism are compatible. Even if we are determined to act in a godless universe by physical forces, we are still free to act in accord with our desires. Under compatibilism, a person is morally blameworthy simply because he wanted to burn down the house, even though he understood all the reasons for why he should not want to do that. A compatibilist says free will just means you have the freedom to do what you want. No one forces you to do something against your will. Free will has nothing to do with the ability to have done other than what you did. But compatibilism is unsatisfying because why should we care about someone's wants or understanding of reasons if those too are also determined? If you drug a person, he may want to commit acts of violence, but that doesn't mean he is morally blameworthy in the same way as someone else who simply wants to commit acts of violence, even though in both cases the wants are caused by other factors outside of his control. It seems that being able to have done otherwise, to make a different choice than what actually happened, is what makes our actions blameworthy or praiseworthy. If we are the primary reason an action happened, then the primary praise or blame for the action falls on our shoulder. And the only way we can rise above the physical order to be that kind of primary cause is if an all-powerful, morally perfect God gives us the power to do that. Put in a more formal way, the argument would go like this. If atheism is true, then determinism is true. If determinism is true, there are no alternate possibilities. If there are no alternate possibilities, there is no moral responsibility. Therefore, if atheism is true, there is no moral responsibility. But there is moral responsibility. So determinism is false, and so atheism is false. Now, some critics say we do have moral responsibility even if we could not have done otherwise, or even if it were impossible for us to make a different choice than we already made. And so this shows being able to do otherwise has nothing to do with moral responsibility. These critics often appeal to something that are called Frankfurt counterexamples, named after the philosopher Harry Frankfurt. Here's a version of these counterexamples. Imagine Smith goes into a voting booth and votes for Biden or Trump in an election, 2020, 2024. It doesn't matter because it's all the same and terrible now. Many people will say Smith is morally responsible for who he votes for because he could have voted for the other candidate. But imagine a villain named Frank has put a bomb in Smith's head that can read his thoughts. Frank wants Smith to vote for Trump. If Smith chooses to vote Trump, he gets to keep his head, the bomb doesn't go off. But if Smith steps into the voting booth and he decides to pull the lever for Biden, the bomb explodes right as he makes that decision, killing him instantly. The Frankfurt counterexample is supposed to show that Smith could not have done otherwise. Smith never could have voted for Biden, because if he did do that, his head would have exploded. And yet, if Smith votes for Trump, Smith is still morally responsible for his actions, even though voting for Biden is impossible under this situation. What matters isn't that he could have made a different choice. What matters is that he had certain reasons or motivations for the choice he did make. And that's what we should be judging. And you don't need God to evaluate reasons and motives in what a person does. So you can have moral responsibility without God. And by the way, if you find the thought experiment insensitive or offensive to your political sensibilities, just switch the candidates or put something else in there, like Kang and Kronos, for example, from The Simpsons. Now, I'm not persuaded by the Frankfurt counterexample. You can still be praised for starting to do the right thing, even if it was impossible to carry out the right thing to completion. Imagine man is on a spaceship that is about to explode, and he can choose two buttons to press. One will safely teleport him to safety, leaving the rest of the crew to die, while the other button will safely teleport the rest of the crew to safety, leaving him to die. Unbeknownst to the man, the button to save him is broken, and pressing it just activates the other button instead. So in this case, the man cannot do otherwise. He will end up saving the crew and dooming himself. But clearly, his decision about which button to press is where the moral praise comes into play, even if each decision, each button that you press, leads to the same outcome. And the same is true in the voting case. The praise and blame is not about which lever ultimately gets pulled, but it's related to the decision Smith makes about which lever to pull. And that blameworthy or praiseworthy decision happens before the bomb explodes and reveals his use of his free will. The machine Frank puts in Smith's head must have some kind of delay. It can't simply know the future. There instead has to be an instant where Smith freely chooses to vote for someone, and then the machine acts and kills him after he decides, but before he pulls the lever in the voting booth. The philosopher John Martin Fisher calls this the flicker of freedom response to the Frankfurt examples. No matter how you construct the Frankfurt examples, there's always a tiny example, a flicker of free choice that can be the subject of moral blame or moral praise. This shows that moral responsibility is still intimately connected to the ability to do otherwise, and the ability to do otherwise cannot exist in a deterministic universe. Instead, our universe must contain something, or our universe must be subject to something, to be more correct. It must be subject to something that makes moral agents like human beings capable of rising above the laws of nature in order to participate in a natural law, a transcendent moral law, where they can choose between good and evil. Something like God, who is omnipotent and perfect goodness itself. So if you would like to learn more about moral arguments like these for the existence of God, I'd recommend checking out David Badgett and Jerry Walz's book, God and Cosmos, Moral Truth and Human Meaning. Thank you all so much, and I hope you have a very blessed day.